Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay to say that, even here, hallelujah. Love will tear down the wall, and love accepts you as you are. In other words, you are not running this race in vain. Love is with you. And when you feel that deep despair, that sense of what have I done, what has been done to me, where shall come the strength to carry on? When you feel that, have faith. For look, a new thing begins. A new day dawns, life is made, a new hope is real, and though there will be night, there will be morning. And though there will be storms, they will not last forever. And though there will be valleys of trouble, there will be hills of joy. This is the promise of faith, and this is the promise of salvation. That we'll be saved from our pain, our hurt, and even, yes, saved from our sins by a love which tears down the walls, a love which proclaims a new life, a love which welcomes us as we are. This is the promise of faith. And, well, that's a little complicated, isn't it? I mean, I could do another 5 minutes on this theme and we could sing some praise songs and call it good. And you know what? I've been to worship like that. I bet a lot of you have too. And it ain't bad. It feels good. It feels hopeful. But you know how it goes. You heard. What about when it doesn't work? What about when you don't feel hope? What about when having faith doesn't bring back the departed, or heal the wound, or stop the oppression? What about when faith feels cheap, when it feels insufficient to the struggle before us? And what are we supposed to have faith in anyway? And what if that doesn't make sense to us? And what if we don't buy it? Last week for spring break, the kids and I, as we usually do, made a big road trip. They're getting older, so we can go further. We went down south to North and South Carolina, places we'd never been before. The food was so good. The history was fascinating, the gardens were beautiful, and the hiking and the beaches were great. And along the highway in South Carolina on I-26, both in and out of the state, there are these giant billboards, white letters on a red background, Jesus saves from sin, throughout the highway, which made me think of this cartoon. Why don't you read it? I think this is the way that many, but not all of us, think about the question of salvation. Many, but not all of us. There's a formula. It goes like this. God created humanity. Humanity failed. Fell. Eve's fault, some say. But maybe it was the snake. But if God is all-powerful, isn't it God's fault? Anyway, there was a screw-up. Sin, death, etc. But then Jesus comes and takes away the sin, but only, says one branch of Christian faith, if you believe in him. The only way to salvation is faith. Salvation by faith alone, says Martin Luther. And if you were raised Lutheran or something similar, maybe you heard of that. Any of you raised Lutheran heard salvation by faith alone yet? In Rockford, I expected a few. A lot of folks, including our Unitarian Universalist religious ancestors, reject that formula. They throw it out. God doesn't act like that. They do not believe that the failure, the fall, the sin. They say the story is allegory, myth. We are not destined sinners, and God is love anyway. And we don't need to be saved from hell because there's no such thing. Our ancestors threw out the whole schema. Embraced the accusation of heretic that was then thrown at them and got busy about thinking about what it would take to save the world since they didn't have to worry about their own souls. And I do too with them. I find this theological formula incomprehensible, arbitrary, and capricious. I don't buy it. But, there is a truth that lies behind the formula. A psychological truth that is real. which is that sometimes we hurt. We are hurt. We hurt others. Sometimes we are in pain, disconnected, troubled, struggling. Sometimes we need something we might call salvation, not from existential punishment in some realm of fire or whatnot, but salvation from our self-doubt, from our debilitating grief, from our worry of what our lives and our children's lives may be. Salvation from systems of oppression in which we are harmed, in which we are caught, in which we sometimes both participate in and are harmed by. We need salvation, a way out, a way forward, a dawn after the darkness, a guidance for our feet, a hand to hold, a way, a truth, a life. And sometimes that way forward, that salvation comes from faith, from belief, from hope, from confidence, from a fidelity to a wider love. It's not a magic trick. It doesn't always work. Having faith that things will get better doesn't always mean that things get better in the way that we expect or at all, but sometimes it does. Sometimes visualizing the life you want to lead or your next step helps you figure out how to get there. Sometimes a plan makes a difference. Sometimes believing the best in yourself means you are your best self. Sometimes believing the best in another reveals their inner light. Sometimes faith leads to salvation. But God, those words are hard, aren't they? I mean, not for all of us. For some of us, those words, faith and salvation, are no problem at all. But for some of us, those are hard words to get around. So what if we redefine them, shift their meaning a little, search for a older meaning for that phrase? Salvation, to be saved, from the Latin salvito, from a word salvus, which means uninjured, safe from harm, which theologically does not work at all because ain't not one of us uninjured or safe from harm. Give that up. But it comes from before that, salvus does, from the Proto-Indo-European root soul, meaning whole, whole. Same root makes words like holistic and solid. They come from the same root, wholeness. Wholeness. What does it mean to be whole? Wholeness isn't unbroken. It's healed. And it may not be all the way healed. Wholeness isn't shiny. It can be rough and real. You know, like the rabbit with its fur worn off when you become real. Wholeness is when the wall comes down, when you are accepted as you are. Not perfect, not without pain or hurt or having made mistakes, as you are. Wholeness is knowing that without being perfect, you are worthy of love and capable of loving. Faith. Faith comes from the Latin fides, fidelity. Fidelity implies not belief, but trust. Those are different things. A kind of loyalty or alignment. To be faithful is to trust. Think of faith as not something you do with your head, but something you do with your heart. Not assent to a proposition, but an attitude you try to live with. So what if we use those roots, strip away the formula, and say that we sometimes need wholeness through fidelity to love. Wholeness through fidelity to love, that we achieve wholeness or approach wholeness for ourselves and for the wider world that we share together by trusting in a love larger than us and by being loyal to that love, by aligning our life with that love. What if salvation by faith means wholeness through fidelity to love? Well, then we might replace our Jesus cartoon with this one instead. what you're reading. I like this Jesus a lot better. And not just because he looks more like a Jew and not some Scandinavian. I mean, come on. When you see Norwegian Jesus, you know you're on the wrong path. No. But what I like most of all is because wholeness is achieved by finding the lost and by calling her by her right name. Wholeness for the lost, and also for those on your left, those who think wrongly that they are already found. But without love, they are a noisy gong and sounding brass. Wholeness when those who are lost are reminded that they are loved, and when the circle is drawn wider and wider still. The work of wholeness requires trust. Salvation requires faith, a kind of courage, and a kind of hope that dawn will come and love will break down the wall, even if we do not make it to the promised land, a belief that it remains there, a land in our souls and a dream in our hearts, that land for which we are bound. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When we reframe salvation by faith as wholeness through fidelity to love, that shift makes a few things clear. One thing it makes clear is that this isn't just about us. Wholeness through fidelity to love is not an individual exercise. It is not something you do on your own. Wholeness is achieved in community, in relationship, and fidelity to love is practiced in the world that we share together. I hate, I despise your festivals, says the prophet, but let justice roll down like waters. By their fruits shall you know them. If you have not love, you are but a noisy gong. I know Christians who, because of their fidelity to love, are deeply active in making the world more just, inclusive, peaceful, and beautiful. And I also know some who think that if they just believe, then they're off the hook for all that work. I have undying respect for the former, less so for the latter's belief. The same is true for atheists, by the way. Remember, because this isn't actually about belief, right? It's about an attitude. Are you faithful to love, to a vision of wholeness, a hope for justice, mercy, and kindness, beloved community? Do you align your life to these principles and try to participate and practice them, knowing that you will sometimes fail, and then you try again because we're not perfect? But not being perfect doesn't mean we're not whole. Beautiful, wounded, healing, longing, whole. It's not just about not believing things you don't agree with. It's about the kind of life you want to live. Wholeness is achieved in relationship when we connect to those we love, neighbors and strangers, to our earth and our home. Wholeness is already there. We experience it and the world experiences it when we unveil the bonds that bind each to all. And we live in trust of that wider love. Another thing that the shift from salvation by faith to wholeness through fidelity to love makes clear is that it is lifelong work. 250 and more years ago in New England, our religious ancestors split into two camps. One said, you have to have a conversion experience, a moment when the Spirit touches you and your heart is changed. The other camp, and I'm simplifying here, but this is the gist of it. The other camp said, it doesn't really matter if you had a conversion experience or not. What matters is that you live with love, mercy, compassion, and justice. What matters, the second camp said, is not that you believe in Jesus, but that you try to follow his teachings. That second camp became the Unitarians. Nothing wrong with a conversion experience. There may be times in our life when we do feel that connection to the Spirit and when the holy fire reaches us and we fall down and rise up and sing, hallelujah, that's some good stuff. It's good. But a spiritual peak experience is neither necessary nor sufficient to live a life of fidelity to love. You don't finish. You get up each day and do it again. The dawn comes once more. You run the race. Again, guide my feet, living with fidelity to love, with that spirit of generosity and care within you. Isn't something you do once and finish? It's the work of our lives, our whole lives, from beginning to end, from toddlers to 102-year-olds. It's the work of our lives, the most important and worthy work we will do. I also hope naming this as wholeness through fidelity to love makes clear that it isn't easy. It's hard. Cynicism lurks around every corner. Despair stalks us like a predator. The cycle of shame swirls. There are times in our lives when it doesn't feel like love is worthy of our fidelity, that love is a betrayer, a false friend, inconsistent and hurtful. I know it, you know it. And you know, sometimes we have to lie down in the dirt and wail. I do not come with false assurance, fake smiles, and easy answers. This is hard. We stumble, we are hurt, we get confused, we feel lost. This is all true. And I think I know deep in my own bones and from all the stories I am privileged to hear from you that when we know it isn't easy, when we know it is lifelong work, and when we know it happens not by ourselves, but in community, then we can begin again. Then we can keep on the journey. Then we can be given by love within, and then we can run the race. A mature, realistic understanding of the challenge of living a life of love and purpose is necessary to live that life, to not be buffeted by every storm, to remember that, yes, the dawn too shall come. No cheap faith, no cheap salvation. Deep in your bones, longing to make love more visible in the world. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Sure, it is difficult, lifelong practice, but you know what else? It is good news. It's the best news. A life lived in fidelity to love is a life you will be proud to live. It is a life that matters. It's a life of beauty and joy and surprises. When you think the walls can't ever come down, they do. When you think your flower is gone, spring comes. When you think the night will last forever, dawn breaks. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Wholeness through fidelity to a love larger than ourselves is the purpose, the joy, the meaning, and the wonder of these days we are given. Rejoice. Love will surprise you, and it is worthy of your devotion. Be glad. This is my deep and abiding loyalty, my prayer for you and for me and for all people, that we shall feel in our breath and in our blood, in our minds and our hearts, the wholeness within and between all of life, that in the storms we do not lose our best selves, that we are found when we are lost, that we find what is lost, that we are known and know by our true names, that we are loyal to a love larger than us, to a justice larger than a moment, to a life still yet unfolding, to hope that sings in the morning, and a dream that carries us through the night. Spirit of love and life, give us love, loyalty to love this day and every day. And let us sing. Please rise in body and in spirit.